Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Advent time, and we ask that you'd give us grace to understand your purposes for your world afresh. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, local news over this last week or so has been dominated by the awarding of the City of Culture 2017 to Hull. Now, the announcement has provoked much discussion about the city. Even in national media, people have been thinking again about Hull's history and heritage. Now, my father-in-law worked as a policeman in the city for several decades from the 1940s, and he reminded me recently of the post-war development initiative for Hull, the so-called Abercrombie Plan. The internationally renowned architect and town planner, Sir Patrick Abercrombie, produced an innovative scheme for the renewal of Hull, which was hoped it would lead to a fairer and nobler city. Well, the Abercrombie Plan involved inner city revitalisation. There was a well-developed community structure that was intended to provide for the educational, the health, and the leisure needs of the population. It also involved the creation of a new and superior physical environment with neighbourhood areas separated by networks of open spaces and gardens. Dovetailing with these was to be a new road system, which include neighbourhood quiet zones for local traffic only, and the careful preservation of the greenbelt. Substandard housing was to be removed from the city centre area, with people being relocated to a new town of 60,000 people on a site near Burton Constable. Well, as you will have worked out, if you didn't know already, the Abercrombie Plan was never implemented. It was opposed by many business people and rejected by the councillors of Hull. Who knows what difference such a plan would have made to the fortunes of the city and region. Well, the season of Advent, which begins today, has reminded Christians for centuries that God has a plan. God has been working out this plan since time began. It is a plan that cannot be scuppered by human opposition. God's plan has been partly unfolded, and yet it is to be fully fulfilled in the future. Having formed the world as very good, with human beings at its crown, men and women turned away from God, introducing brokenness into God's good world. But God's plan is still on track. God has revealed in his word, the Bible, that his plan is to bring rescue to his world. God is going to restore that which is broken to a beautiful new harmony. God is going to bring transformation. Now, God's rescue plan was foretold in our early Bible readings this evening. It is focused on a unique leader. This leader would come from the line of great kings who had reached its previous high point in King David, the one who had the father Jesse. Now, kings in the past had been commissioned with a ceremony involving anointing. That is, being drenched in olive oil as a symbol of empowerment by God's Spirit. According to God's message through the prophet Isaiah, this new king will find God's Holy Spirit rests on him like no other. He will be the truly anointed one, literally the true Messiah, the true Christ. As Lucy read for us, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." The coming of this Christ was to bring about the fundamental reality of God's plan. Some 100 years later, God underlined what he had made known through Isaiah with the complementary message of Jeremiah. As Marigold read for us, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke. I will now be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall know me, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." God's plan to bring restoration to his broken world, centered on his Christ or anointed one, would lead to a restoration of connection with God. His loving covenant agreement had been broken, but through the Christ in a new covenant, it would be restored. The way to God would be opened up as sin would not only be forgiven, it would be so completely deleted that no residual memory would be left in the mind of God. At just the right time in God's plan, this Christ was born as a baby in Bethlehem, in what we call, of course, the first Christmas. David and Betty read from Matthew's account of the good news, which speaks so clearly of this Christ. This rescuer, Messiah, the initiator of the new covenant, came, as Matthew tells us and as Jeremiah had foretold, to save his people from their sins. His life was centered on his achievement through his death. A death, in Jesus' own words recorded by Matthew, a death which was a ransom for many. "My blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Now, this death of the Messiah was effective, but the full benefits are still awaited. Through the Christ, God was beginning his work of restoration and transformation. It is seen in some measure, even today, in the lives of those who have turned back to him and received the benefits of his work on the cross, and those who then serve using the talents that he has given for the common good. But this is, if you like, only stage one of his restoring work. God's plan for his broken world to be fully mended and restored will be fulfilled when Jesus the Christ returns. As we read, he promised he would. "The Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Now, glimpses of the implications of this second advent of the Christ in God's plan are given to us in 1 Corinthians 15, the location of our final reading. Christian believers in a large pagan metropolis, rather confused about how they understood the world, are reminded that Jesus the Christ died for our sins and that God proved him right by raising him from the dead. Jesus' resurrection has become the pattern of the believer's resurrection, and this will be made known at Jesus' return. "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ can all be made alive, but each in their own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ." In God's plan, this is where, as it were, Easter meets Advent. Jesus' return will be the fulfillment of God's kingdom rule, proved by Jesus' resurrection. All that is against God will be removed, even death itself. Then comes the end, when Christ hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed every rule and authority and power. "For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death." This final and complete rule brought about as the Christ returns will lead to nothing less than a transformation of the whole world. In words that have been immortalized by Handel's musical accompaniment, we read, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." You see, God will transform individuals who in life have received the benefits of Jesus' death. And 1 Corinthians 15 shows that this transformation will lead to bodies that are like our earthly bodies in some ways, but also unlike them, because they will be wonderfully changed to be fitted for life in God's totally transformed world. For that is nothing less than God the Father's plan. Total transformation of a broken world through his Son, Jesus the Christ. God is going to bring about a world of harmony and God-centered peace. As we heard from Isaiah, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, of course, we are all different in our personalities. Some of us tend to be perhaps naively optimistic Pollyannas. Others are more like negative thinking Eeyores. But Advent should save us from being thoughtless utopians or despondent pessimists, and lead us instead to being realistic optimists. This world is broken. There's evidence of it all around us. But it won't remain so forever. God is working out his purpose through his Christ. Of course, we human beings like our plans, but many don't find fulfillment, like the Abercrombie plan for the post-war renewal of Kingston-upon-Hull. What we recognise at Advent is that God's plan, awaiting its final fulfillment, will succeed. God's promise is secure, and the resurrection of the Christ is the evidence that this same Christ will one day return. The pattern of the transformation of the risen Jesus after his rescuing death at the end of his first advent points us to the ultimate transformation of God's world at Jesus' second advent. When life makes us wobble, we can hold on to God's promises that his plan will be fulfilled. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be reminded from your word of your plan. As we look into our world and we look into our lives, we often see the brokenness and the difficulties. We thank you that one day, centered on your Son, you will bring about this transformation. Help us to have open hearts to him. Help us to serve in the here and now, as we anticipate that final transformation, and help us to be filled with confidence as we look to the future. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.